This episode of TMS is brought to you by Ava at eatwithava.com. It's the first ever healthy eating assistant that figures out how to help you lose weight and get results even faster. For details, go to eatwithava.com or text the promo code TMS to the number 48799 and get started for free today. Coming up on TMS, how deep is your water?
Go west, world.
Twitter really likes taxes.
Lohan hurt her hand.
I have three parents.
I did not have relations with that dinosaur.
Hillary's not a dinosaur. Major spoilers and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
I went into the chamber and stripped off my clothing while the robot droned its orders.
It's the third quintet of the Spicolian movement. Hump day!
The Morning Stream. I will feast on your soul.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to TMS, a fresh, hot new week right out of the oven for the Morning Stream. It's October 2nd, nope, 3rd of 2016. I'm Scott Johnson with Brian Ebbett. Hi, Brian.
Hello. We're already off to a roaring start through our October, man.
3rd. Whoa. 3 days in.
Already, yeah.
How are your first 3 days of October?
Well, I haven't done any of the things that I need to do at the first of the month, but I'm going to do those today.
I have to as well. Mondays are bad for me. It's going to be bad today.
Yeah, today's crazy.
Ugh, I'm not even really looking forward to Monday, but whatever, man.
I don't even know if I'm going to find time to procrastinate today. I'm so busy.
Yeah, I've got no time to, like, do world quests in the middle of my day. How am I going to do this?
That's exactly what I'm thinking.
Good Lord. I saw you online doing something last night.
Raid.
Yeah.
Sunday night raid.
Were you doing, you guys are just, you're still gearing up in heroics and things?
That's what's going on? Yeah, doing heroics. We did Vault of the Wardens and Violet Hold.
Both are excellent,
I don't know if it's something about the new heroic level of Violet Hold, but as an extra challenge, as an extra difficult challenge, it disconnected three of us out of Violet Hold mid-fight.
Ah, yes, the new feature to the game. DC three of you, so that now two have to survive.
That's right. It's like, I think on Mythic level, it just wipes all five of you out.
Yeah, everyone just disconnects and someone hacks your account. And that's suddenly all your money's gone. So
it was really bad.
I had actually planned on doing that, but I actually think I'm about where everyone is. What's your gear score anyway?
Yeah, 820.
See, I'm at 8, like 45.
If you're at 8, if you're over 825, you're ready for raids, right?
Yeah, that's basically what I think it is. So. And I've been doing like some mythics with people and all
nice.
That.
God, I haven't even set foot. Can't even imagine setting foot in a mythic right now.
Well, the way it works is, I know this isn't WoW show, everybody, but who cares? We're going to talk about it for a second. The way mythics work, it's like, so normals are pitifully easy.
Yes.
Right. They used to be kind of a challenge back in the day, but this round, they're kind of the easy mode. They're like LFR kind of. Mm-hmm. And then heroics are the new normal. Mm-hmm. They're not really that hard.
They're the new normal, right?
Yeah, the new normal. And then mythics are the new heroics, kind of. Yeah. In that there's actually, then you start to get a real challenge going. And then mythic pluses, of course, things get harder and harder. But it's really, I really like the way they've done it this time around. It's feeling good in the neighborhood. Hey, Brian, I got some things for you here. Number one, we're first out the gate. I saw Deepwater Horizon this weekend.
That's that new Marky Mark.
Yep, Marky Mark and his Funky Bunch. And it also features John Malkovich and Computer Wore Tennis Shoes. What's his name? I can't think of his name. He was in a bunch of old Disney movies. He's Captain Jack.
Not Captain Jack. Kurt Russell.
Kurt Russell. Uh-huh. There you go. Not Captain
Kate
Jack.
Hudson.
And Kate Hudson. Isn't
his daughter.
Isn't Kate Hudson his offspring?
It's certainly Goldie Hawn's offspring. Was she?
They're never married, but I wonder if it was his doodle that created her or not. I don't know. I don't know if it was somebody before that or not. But anyway, it's either way, there's got to be some familial
answers
thing.
In the chat room are mixed. We have one yes, one no. Now we have a big no. So no.
All right. So she's
Bill Hudson was.
Bill Hudson. That's where she gets the Hudson.
Sure.
Okay. It's not because
that was just a, I don't want to be a Han. I want to be a Hudson.
It's because she was conceived in the Hudson River, but that's not why. Okay. So anyway, but there's some, you know, I mean, sure, they probably hang out. There's probably some Thanksgivings and stuff like that. But what's funny is they never, in the entire movie, they're never together. Mm-hmm. Except right. at the very end, there's like this nice little hug at the end. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, it's like her stepdad for real. Anyway,
it's like the only time they get to see each other.
It's a big gnarly disaster movie based on the true story of the 2010 British oil company freaking nightmare thing that happened in the Gulf of Mexico.
Right.
And I didn't know. I guess I paid so little attention. I feel bad about this. But in 2010, I don't remember the details of like all these people dying and awful stuff that was on the actual platform. All I remember is the oil spill part, right? Which is still part of this. I didn't know about all these people like dying and people saving each other and like crazy stuff happening out in the middle of the Gulf. So that was all really interesting. Peter Berg directed it. You know him from Hot Dogs.
Friday Night Lights.
You know, I always say Hot Dogs because no one remembers that he was in Hot Dogs but me. Do you remember
the skiing movie?
Yeah, he's in Hot Dogs.
Yeah, you're right. I don't.
Yeah.
I remember from the Late for Dinner movie where that's the first time I remember seeing him, which was like a couple of guys get into a stasis machine.
Yeah.
And then they get opened up in the future and they're like, golly, people are talking on these telephone things and stuff.
I don't remember that. He'd be good in that, though.
He was really good in that. And then there was another movie with Elliot from E.T. where they get zapped up to a spaceship and probed, anally probed.
Oh, anally probed. Wow. Yeah,
Fire in the Sky, was that one? I think it was the name of that
Fire
one.
Fire in the Sky. That's a great movie. Yeah. That's right. He's in that. I didn't know Elliot was in that. Elliot's in that? I guess Elliot's in that.
So, the main guy.
So's the T-1000's in that.
Michael Patrick?
Patrick. Bill. Yeah, there it is, Robert.
Robert Patrick.
Robert Patrick, brother of the singer of... Did you ever take my picture? Because I don't want to go there. Whatever. How's that song go?
Sad thing is, I think I know the song you're talking about. Is it Vertical Horizon? Is that?
I don't know. No, it's the
Filter.
Guy.
Filter.
Filter. Filter. The brother. So yeah. Robert Patrick's brother is the singer for Filter. Anyway.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, really? I didn't know that. All right.
They're related. Anyway, what's the deal? What was my point? Anyway, it's good. If you want a disaster movie.
Yeah,
that's what this is. Like straight up, everything's burning, stuff's going to crap. The guy that played the fat brother on My Name Is Earl, Randy's in there. Mm-hmm. A bunch of actors you like. By the way, John Malkovich once again cements himself as one of the finest actors of his generation. He's real good in this. It's fantastic. It's real good. And it's now, if you don't like disaster movies, you're going to freaking hate this, though.
But this is interesting. I mean, are we at the point now where? Where something that happened 6 years ago is now movie fodder, like movie. Because we had Sully, which was like in 2009. We have the Sully movie now. We had the Deepwater Horizon, which was in 2010.
Mm-hmm. You had your two 9/11 movies just not long after 9/11.
Right. Yeah.
United 93. And actually, you know what? If you've seen United 93, that's a strong comparison to this in terms of how. It's made. It's very similar kind of movie. Okay. Yeah. It's very like, you know, people going about their day and doing their jobs and talking small talk at work. And like this, it doesn't feel like there's not a bunch of like serious story filler, like this relationship here or any of that.
Yeah. I can imagine. Yeah. You just want to get right to the story at hand, which makes sense. Totally makes sense.
Yeah. I liked it. I liked it a lot. So if you're looking for a good time, the people we went with, my friend Andrew and his wife, I'm not sure she liked it. She kept sort of looking at the floor, which was funny.
Who?
My Annie. Annie and Andrew went with us, just some friends.
Okay.
And she kept staring at the floor. And
know why. She was bothered by the stuff going on screen?
And I kept nudging her. I'm like, you all right over there? You doing okay?
You should have said, hey, do you want to go? Why don't you go see Bridget Jones' Baby and we'll pick you up after the movie?
Which is a little more her speed, to be honest. But Drew, it's so funny. So this thing is interdispersed. At the beginning, you hear actual testimony at the trials for this thing. You hear it. You don't see it. And at the end of the movie, you get actual testimony, video from that testimony, and pictures of all the people that have just been portrayed on screen. Now you're seeing the real people, okay? Mm-hmm. Both those who died and those who made it.
Sure.
And it brings it together. It's like, whoa, this, hey, you forget this actually
happened. Really happened, yeah.
And then... And then there's this scene where the main couple, Kate Hudson and Marky Mark, are shown as the real people that they were, you know, the mm-hmm. people they were playing.
Right.
And they're just normal ass looking people. People that might be trying to reach the hose on the upper shelf at the Walmart. Like just normal people.
That's, you know what's funny? Because there's something to that. Like at the end of Sully, there's a similar thing where you see Sully and his co-pilot, which was Aaron Eckhart in the dramatization.
Yeah.
It's funny how much of that there is.
And it throws you for a loop for a second because you're like, oh yeah, that's right. And this is not me judging, but the person that Kate Hudson was playing looks more like a middle-aged mom with, you know,
sure,
a little meat on her, and she just is normal looking.
Of course, yeah.
But she's not like perfect like Kate Hudson is and will never not be. So I'm looking at that and Drew goes, he elbows me and goes, well, they didn't hold up, did they? And I'm like, dude! Those are fake actors playing real people. The real people are like me and you, man. Like, this is what you and I look like. So anyway, it was a good time. I liked it. Also, cool. Westworld came out. Happened.
Yeah, last night, right?
Did you watch it?
No, we watched the finale of Fear the Walking Dead and the finale of Vice Principals.
I'll bet this is better than both of those combined.
Did you watch the finale of Vice Principals?
No.
Because I knew you were all into the show.
Did Bill Murray? Did Bill Murray come back? Is he back?
Bill Murray did not come back. You've got to watch that. It's crazy. It's just crazy, and I'm not going to say anything more about that. But I do want to see Westworld, and we're definitely going to watch that. We've watched some Luke Cage. Right now, there's no shortage of good things to watch.
No, you're absolutely right about that. Yeah. The premiere of Westworld is everything I wanted it to be, and a little bit more. I forgot James Marsden's in it. Cyclops. Yep, Cyclops is in there.
Nice.
He's great.
6-episode limited series, or what's the deal?
No, I think it's like a full 10 or 12 season? Run thing, I think. Yeah. Sure as hell better be, because this is great. I mean, this cost a ton of money. It is famous for that. It's got J.J. Abrams in a producer role. It's got Christopher Nolan's brother. What's his name? Nolan. Jonathan Nolan. Is that it? Jonathan Jim Nolan.
Richard Nolan? What is it?
Joseph Nolan.
Anyway, no brother Nolan.
Bolan Nolan. Anyway, he's the executive showrunner man.
And, Anthony Hopkins.
Hopkins is in it. Freaking Ed Harris just eating up the freaking scenery, dude. He's so good.
Cool. Anyway, we're watching it. It's happening.
It's fabulous.
Just didn't happen last night.
Fabulous. And lots of medical nudity. And by that, I mean
fantastic.
Not sexy nudity at all. It's like bunch of people standing in a big empty. It's like, so this stuff's in the trailer, so it's not like it's, you know, whatever. But there's a bunch of just dudes with their doodles out, bunch of ladies there, and that's just it's all very medical and very we need to make sure they beep boop beep, right? A lot of people sitting on chairs with squishy bums, things like that. It's really good. Like, I am so excited for this thing to keep going. I cannot wait. And this is supposed to be, they're making a big bet here, because Game of Thrones near the end of its run. All right, a couple short seasons left. They're doing half season seasons, basically a full season cut in half, and that's it. They're out. So this is their big bet on the next thing that's going to hook everybody, and I'm pretty sure this is it. I think it's real good.
Cool.
So check out.
I'm totally in. Not like there wasn't any doubt that I was going to watch that, but I'm even more excited to watch it. Yeah, there's just so much to watch right now.
You're going to love it. I can't wait to hear what you say.
All the CW shows come back this week, so, you know, the soap opera is called Arrow and The Flash.
With all the pretty people, I'm excited for those. Have you seen the Supergirl? I haven't seen a single episode of that yet.
So here's the deal. So when Supergirl first aired on CBS, Tina and I gave it a shot. We watched for the first 3 episodes and said, yeah, this is not for me. Calista Flockhart is just so over the top in her character that we just couldn't stand it anytime she was on screen.
Okay.
And so we stopped watching it. And then, you know, once it got moved to once the announcement was made that it was moving to CW, I heard people saying, well, yeah, now it feels like it's going to be more at home, because it was a Greg Berlanti. It's a Greg Berlanti show, and he's got all of the other stuff on CW, and it's probably more at home. And people are saying, oh yeah, once you get past the first 3 episodes, the rest of it's really good. So that's been my new night watching thing. Now that I'm done with Deadwood, before I start anything else, Sons of Anarchy or whatever, you know, I basically have to pick shows that I know Tina's not going to want to watch.
Right.
And, and I started watching Supergirl, and it is campy fun, but the people that they've brought in, the characters, the DC characters they've brought in, have kind of blown my mind.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Kim's watching, she's watching Gotham, speaking of DC shows.
Oh, Gotham's great too, yeah.
And I haven't even started it, but Kim's loving it. She's like, dude, you got to watch this. I'm like, okay, yeah. I'm over here watching Westworld on my iPad. Sometime we're going to have to watch something together again in our lifetime.
Again, for a shaky first season with Gotham, but got really good near the end of the first season. And since then, it's been on point.
The Penguin guy's kind of cool.
He's great. Yeah, that actor's really good. And Edward Nygma guy, the Riddler dude.
Oh yeah, he's good.
Too.
And even you know, listen, I was a little skeptical, but the OC guy is Jim Gordon. It's right. Not bad. But every time it comes on screen, it drives Kim crazy. I'm in the other room, just sort of off to the side. I can kind of see the TV through the periphery there. I'll see him come on screen, and here's me. Do 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 do. She's like, "Shut up! I'm
honestly
watching this."
The only weak spot in the show for me is the kid who plays Bruce Wayne.
Oh, the kid. Yeah.
I know Bruce Wayne comes from a rich family. He's got a mansion, you know, or I'm sorry, a manor. Wayne Manor.
Yeah, Wayne Manor.
But I don't know. This kid just feels too privileged. I don't know what it is.
A little pampered. You know what he's got, pampered, though? He's got a badass butler and kicked the shit out of people. He's great.
Yeah, he does.
Way to go, Alfred. Almost called him Arthur. That's why.
Yeah, he's one of the. He was a former doctor, wasn't he? Like a Doctor Who doctor.
Was he? The actor? I didn't know that. I know he's a. Who really? I didn't know that. I thought he was a. I know he's in tons of things, but I can't place the actor at the moment in my head.
I could be wrong on that, but I thought I remember.
I don't watch that.
Oh,
so
he's
the
son of.
He's son
the
of a doctor.
Son of
who?
The third doctor.
Oh no way, dude. That's even cooler than
that
being
is even cooler,
because
yeah.
He's in lots of stuff. Like the second he is a bad guy, like the second henchman in charge or whatever in the second Mission Impossible movie that wasn't that great, but the John Woo one. Yeah,
okay.
He's the what is he called? I don't remember his name, but he had blonde hair and he was much younger, obviously. But he's just a kind of a badass, scary guy. I like him a lot.
Gotcha.
Son of who?
John Pertwee. Yes, he's the son of John Pertwee. Okay. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Very cool.
Father, I want to have my own acting career. Anyway, so there's all that. How was Oktoberfest? Cool. You get drunk? Yeah, what happened?
You know, I didn't get drunk. So I went to, Friday night we went to Oktoberfest downtown Denver, and they have a big, long stretch of Larimer Street that they shut down for Oktoberfest. They got a bunch of booths, of course, everybody selling beer and spetzel and ginormous pretzels and cabbage rolls and really, really good food. So we were doing a lot of where we'd get one thing and we'd split it four ways so that we could try a bunch of different things.
Just
and it was
crazy,
really good. But
crazy neighbor went with you or who?
Crazy neighbor and his wife met us there. Oh. They were already downtown. So we took we took an Uber downtown and met him there.
Gotcha.
And we show up and he runs up. He says, "Hey, there's only about half an hour left of happy hour. It's 2-for-1. It's 2-for-1 beers, but you," and then he hands me or shoves this beer in my face, "but you have to drink this beer." And I'm thinking, oh, okay, he's going to go get us 2-for-1 beers.
Yeah.
And he can't carry 3. So he's like, "drink this, you know, you have to drink this beer so I can go get 2 more." I'm like, oh, okay, cool. So I grab the beer out of his hand. I chug it down. Like it's about a third full, maybe half full. And just to be an a-hole, I decide I'm just going to drink the whole thing. I'm just going to chug the whole thing. Because he's not expecting that, right? All so right. He hands me the drink. "You have to drink this beer." And so I get it and I drink it. He looks at me like, "did you enjoy that?" And I said, "yeah, I guess it was all right." He said, "no, I can go get you 2-for-1 beers, but you have to drink this kind of beer to get the 2-for-1, is what he meant to say. It wasn't like, you have to drink this beer. He's like, "oh, no, they have 2-for-1, but you have to drink this beer."
That's
so
amazing.
I completely misunderstood him and drank his beer and didn't feel
too bad. That's amazing. Don't feel bad. Yeah, this is the crazy neighbor.
It's Oktoberfest.
Yeah, it's crazy neighbor fest. Let's
pulled a hat out of the garbage and wore it.
That's pretty great.
Is what he did.
Yeah, I always like, you go every year. It's always fun to hear how that goes. Now, this is different than that other beer tasting thing you go to,
yes,
right?
And that's Saturday. The Great American Beer Fest is this coming Saturday. The 8th at the Colorado Convention Center, 1 ounce beers, but thousands of them.
And you're going there. You're doing that. Yeah. You always do that.
Always do that. Didn't do it last year because Tina and I were in Vegas for a same-sex Mary thing. But prior to that, haven't missed a year since, like in the last 7 years. So looking forward to it. Gonna be a lot of fun.
I love that the phrase, we were in Vegas for a same-sex Mary thing, is very out of context. It's a very different sentence.
Right. It totally is. Yeah. If you don't know what same-sex Mary, they're a band, people. Yeah. They're a band.
Mary, M-A-R-Y, not
If you've just joined us, same-sex Mary is a band.
They sure are. All right. We got an announcement. The TMS 32nd Film Festival continues. We are doing this monthly. I can't wait. This month is the Halloween theme.
That's right.
Good gosh, Brian. What are we doing? How's this
going? So here's the deal. So again, it's going to be 30 days. You've got till the end of the month. We're going to pick a winner. The week before Halloween, which is the week of the 24th, we'll figure out exactly what day. But the theme is how I prepare for Halloween. So do a 32nd film festival thing. Maybe you're making your costume. Maybe you're getting candy ready for the kids. Maybe you're getting ready to decorate your house, all that stuff. What you need to do is do a little 32nd video, roughly, called How I Prepare for Halloween.
Yeah.
You saw our prize package last month. We're doing it again. Big old prize package. Basically, it's all the stuff I can shove into one of those Loot Crate or Nerd Block boxes, and it's a bunch of stuff. This time, I'm going to do it as a theme. It's all going to be video game theme related.
Ooh,
so
I like
lots
it.
Lots of video game stuff.
Yeah. This is going to be good. Yeah. So you guys need to get on it.
And I'm sure a TMS shirt's going to be in there. I'm sure... Dave Michael's going to throw in a TMS mug if we've got any left. So.
Yeah, there's stuff to do in there. Yeah. And by the way, I haven't done it yet, but I'm going to make some sort of landing page on the website so people can go to like some place where it's just always got the current theme.
Oh, cool.
Any pertinent links, that kind of stuff. So
like
that
a link even to make requests, stuff like that. So like all the...
Sure, all that stuff. That way you've got a place to go, oh yeah, this is going on and I should do this. So
yeah.
We very much are looking forward to
it. Yeah, it's only been 6 years.
Yeah, that's all it's been. It's not a problem. All right, we're going to add to the call two people. One is Daryl Skills, because now we do them at the same time, because why not?
Uh-huh.
And the other
person is someone who's going to call 801-895-4724.
That's correct. 801-895-4724. You could be the lucky winner and competitor today. Hopefully you haven't won in the last, what is it, 15 days? 30 days.
30 days of win, 15 days of play.
Skype's doing that thing again.
Sure. That's all right. It's going to give you time to clear the lines and all that stuff.
Gosh dang it, Skype. This latest update, I swear, killed the ability for me to add calls on the fly. That's really kind of a problem.
That is a problem.
So I'm going to do this. I'm going to add Shite Monkeys. All right, I'm going to pull... Brian?
Yeah.
I'm going to answer this, and then I'm going to call, and I'm going to add you to that call.
Sure.
Okay? All right, so here goes. Hi, is this Matt?
Yeah, it is.
Hey, I saw your name on the thing. How's it going? You're the lucky random dude. How are you?
Awesome. I'm great. Yeah. Thanks.
Well, that's great. Oh, where are you calling from? You sound like you have an accent.
I'm in Australia, yeah.
Whoa, no way. That's pretty rad. All right. I need to... This won't let me add people to this. Skype is a piece of garbage is what this is. All right. So here's what I'm going to do, Matt. Hold still, and I'm going to try to add you to this other call, okay? So hang on there. All right, Brian, I'm gonna try to re-add.
Oh. Well, I can't hear you now.
Well,
I
can
hear you for a second.
You can't? Oh, hold on. Now you can hear me, right?
Oh, now I can hear you.
Okay. Yeah, something. Skype's being real dumb.
But we still don't have another person.
Matt. We have Matt Bolt, but he's on hold now.
Oh.
Frick. I hate you, Skype. Hang on. Let me see. Okay, so we're back, everybody. We're recording again. Sorry, technical issues. We have on the line with us Daryl Skills, who will be a part of today's program, like always. Hi, Daryl. Good morning.
Hello, I am out walking in a grass field.
Why are you doing that?
Oh, it sounds like one of his periscopes.
Yeah, it does a little bit. Are you going to start singing to your car or something like that? Are you going to like yell at your gear shift? What are you doing?
Well, I forgot my regular headphones, so I thought, oh, these $200 headphones should work. I mean, they should have a microphone built in, shouldn't they?
Yeah.
No, I guess not.
Oh, so now you're on just your phone.
Yeah, it's just phone with no headphones, no nothing.
Oh.
I'm doing the speakerphone thing.
I like that you're in
walking in a field.
Yeah, you're in a field. You're like, what's that like? It reminds me of something.
I'd turn the video on if I could.
Well, you...
It's like little Daryl on the Prairie is what it is.
Yeah, it's super nice. Oh, there he is. Oh, good Lord.
Oh, look, there he is.
It was a good angle. I could see nostrils and everything. All right. Well, there's Daryl. Also on the line with us, we have Matt Bolt. He hails from Australia. Matt, good morning. Or evening.
Wow. Howdy.
What time is it there?
About 11:30 at night.
Oh, good Lord. Wow. That's not too bad. You could just be playing. That's not too bad. Yeah, you can play WoW and hang out till like 1. You'll be fine. Well, thanks for dealing with our weird phone issues. You were our lucky caller today, and I'm glad you were on Skype because it made it easy for me to add you. The phone call people are going to get hosed. I got to figure that out. Skype changed something, and now I don't know what to do. Anyway, Daryl is here. You're here. That means it's time for us to play a little game. I'm going to play the music. Brian's going to tell us who it's brought to us by, and we're going to go from there.
Yeehaw! I'm feeling good today, and I can't even identify why.
All right, it's time for Stump Daryl, and it's brought to you by...
Do you like reading but hate deciding what to read next? Well, have I got a book for you. Of Wood and Stone is a fantasy novel about Eliza, a young girl lost in a fantastical world in search of a story to tell her grandfather. As Of Wood and Stone unfolds... It's a tough sentence there. Yeah. Eliza will have to face a fierce elven warrior, a prince who's in need of rescuing from himself and a magical realm that lies on the other side of the tree line from our own. The journey will forever change the fate of two kingdoms and give Eliza the strength to face the storm clouds that are gathering around her, her own life back at home. To read the first 5 chapters for free, visit tinyurl.com/ofwoodandstone.
Nice. Daryl, what are you in a car now?
No, and I've walked to my car. I'm now in my car.
Okay, so you are in a car now then.
Yeah.
All right, excellent. Well, it's fun to watch you.
Oh, there's my headphones. Yay.
Oh, they weren't gone after all. Well, this is great. Hey, we have on the line with us Matt Bolt. He's from Australia, and he's going to try to participate in today's contest. Brian, sure. Do you want to explain the rules here? How's it work?
I will. Yes, Matt, what we're going to do is ask Daryl a trivia question, one that we expect he's going to blow tremendously. the answer is going to be a number, and what we're going to ask you to do is tell us whether the real answer is higher or lower than Daryl's guess. If you are correct today, Scott has a bunch of cool games for you that for some reason didn't make it into the spreadsheet.
I'm going to put it in. Hold on. I'm going to do it right now. Hold on. You're going to win the copy of... shit. Hold on.
Which is available on Steam.
This isn't working very well. Oh, you're getting your very own copy of Cluck Jaeger in Escape from the Planet of the Pultroid on Steam. You guys have Steam in that part of the world, right? You're good?
Yeah, we do, yeah.
All right, excellent. I'm putting the code in there.
Also
so I can
poisonous cane toads, but we're not going to send you one of those.
Whoa, poisonous cane toad.
That doesn't
sound good at all. All right. Well, I'm gonna ask the question now, and Daryl, we're gonna see how you do. You ready? You ready for your topic here?
Yeah, let me plug in my headphones.
Okay, great. Okay. That adds to the ambiance of today's train wreck that we call a podcast.
It's good to see you've got a sunroof, Daryl.
Yeah, it's nice.
Oh yeah, I do. Want me to open it?
Yeah, open that up. Let's see the skies of Seattle.
All right, let's do it. Yeah.
Let's see if you have any vultures circling you right now.
Open the sun.
Let's see. I never open this thing. How do I do it? Oh, I guess it's kind of like this.
Yeah.
There's the sky.
I now regret that I said do it. All right. So here's the...
turn
off your car. Yeah,
turn it back off.
Yeah, your car is lame. All right, here's your question. This is a World of Warcraft question, by the way. You play World of Warcraft. You know what's up in there. Mm-hmm. Here's your question. Ragnaros was one of the endgame bosses back in the original Warcraft. He returned to the Fireland Zone in Cataclysm. This is all true. How much health does Ragnaros have when you fight him in a 25-person heroic group in the Firelands? That is not his original hit points, because that would be totally lower. And also, that's a terrible raid. People think it was great, but Molten Core was kind of lame. Anyway. So
Firelands, boy, that fight against him, you had the balls that would be rolling back and forth. It would target one player and just roll at them, and there was nothing you could do but just keep circling around until that thing got shot down.
Yeah, it was kind of horrifying. And if you had a character that needed to stand still to do anything, you were screwed. Like, mages hated that fight. It was the worst.
Yeah.
All right, so Daryl, there's your question. What do you think that number is? Hit points in the 25-man Firelands version of the Ragnaros fight. How many hit points did he have?
I haven't been there anywhere fighting any raids to know what anything would, any hit points would be anywhere. So I'll take a crazy guess and say 333,333.33.
All right.
Gotcha.
So,
pi. Bunch of threes. Yeah. With a com in the middle.
Not quite a pi.
0.333.
All right. So, Brian, is he right?
That number is incorrect.
What a surprise.
That is the actual answer, higher or lower than 333,333.333.
I'm thinking it's higher than that. I'm pretty sure we're in the early millions then.
Yeah. Early millions, you say?
Early millions.
So
Scott,
higher.
How did he do?
Well, let me answer that for you, Brian Ibbett.
Okay.
He's wrong. No, I mean, he's right. Oh, no. It's higher. 24,855,82. That means that normally I would have played this.
Congratulations.
It's all backwards today.
You're a winner.
The More Dots guy, Ray Group, failed to defeat him back in the original game. Here is a clip that is heavily edited. I do not think this is the More Dots fight. The More Dots fight was... Mike's got this wrong. Yeah, that was the Onyxia fight.
It was Onyxia, right.
Yeah, Onyxia, yeah. Not that. But still fun to listen to. So here's the clip.
You better play so good you've never played that good before. Now hit this mob hard. The next idiot who goes and aggroes something he ain't supposed to is not getting any item for the next 2 weeks, not to mention 200 minus DKP. Is that enough motivation for you to play proper? And if you complain about it, I'll kick you out of the guild.
Jeez.
Oh, my God. That guy's the best. He really is
the
best.
Where can I sign up for that raid?
He is a listen, he is an international treasure, and we should treat him as such, that guy. Excellent.
I'd be floor taking so much, like so dead on the floor so often, to be like, I'd have DKP minus points coming out of my keister.
Oh, yeah, it'd be thousands of DKP minus, or whatever the hell that was back in the day. All right. Well done. You've won. That means that code's coming straight over to you. Are you in the chat room today?
Yeah, Meldoran in the chat room.
All right. Awesome. Send Brian or me a little private message.
I've even already sent him the code.
Oh, look at this. We're so ahead of ourselves. It's ridiculous. Hey, yeah. Congratulations. Well done. And may the motherland of the Queen's prison planet always be kind to you. We'll talk to you soon. Stay out of trouble. That's Matt Bolt, everybody. He's bolting now.
Very good. Very good. Congratulations.
Daryl Skeels, you continue to be on video, which is good because now you get a chance to play a game with us. Before we do that, though, a quick note that Daryl is the Trek nerd. You can find him on that name on the Twitter there. You can also find him at This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com and the Grumpy Cast. And now, play a game with us called...
YouTube.
Called Let Me Look on My Computer That I Don't Have.
Oh,
right,
yeah. You're not even in front
of
it.
See what I can't.
That's true.
Yeah.
Oh, no. So you don't have a YouTube.
You don't have
thing
a game. I wasn't thinking about that. All right. Well, come up with another game. What's in your car? Something we have to guess.
Guess.
Guess the items in Daryl's glove compartment.
Let's see. What's in there? Would that work?
Yeah.
Let's do guess the items on the passenger seat.
Okay.
Your copy.
There are.
Your October copy of Horse Porn Monthly. no, I don't know. Passenger seat. Let's think, Brian.
Or you can even guess what's in the entire car. I'll give you the whole car. Geez.
Well, engine, wheel, seat.
Yeah. No, I mean in the car, not part of the car.
Not of the car. In the car, not of the car, he means.
In the car. I'm going to guess there is a paperback novel of some sort.
All right. Somewhere. I'm going to say that somewhere in there is a pair of Bluetooth earbuds in there somewhere.
Oh, why would he be wearing the wired ones? If?
But they're in the car now, Brian. I cheated. Because I know he's in there. Because I know he went in there with them. So they're in the car now. No, I won't use
those. I believe
there's
a pen on the passenger seat.
All right, you say there's pen. I'm going to say there's some change. You got some quarters in there for tolls and for homeless guys and stuff.
Okay. I will now show you who wins. There are no Bluetooth headphones because I left those inside because they weren't working. They made you hang up.
Oh, that's right.
When you first called.
That's right. Yeah, I forgot. I would have blown that.
But I do have, let's see, what do I have? What is this? It's
12 pack
of money
Magnum,
falling all over the place.
Magnum condoms. Change. Yeah, 12 pack of condoms.
There's change. And here's the passenger seat. Oh, where am I aiming? There's a hat. I can't even aim this thing. It keeps switching around. There we go. A hat and keys.
A hat and keys. That's a shitty looking
isn't that
hat.
Exciting.
That's a shitty hat. Right.
And a bunch of clothes to donate to the clothes thing.
The clothes thing. I love
put them in a bag or anything? You just loosely throw your clothes on the back of the seat?
Yeah.
Are you just going to drive by there and throw your pants at them?
Well, they have these little weird big giant boxes with a drawer thing you pull out and you throw your clothes in to donate.
I think Daryl's drinking whiskey in the morning by Daryl.
If the Mazda CK6 is a rockin', don't bother knocking.
Don't come a knocking. Here's this.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news brought to you by.
Check out the latest upcoming episode of The Boop Show, taking a deep look into the state of MMOs and more. Frogpants.com/boop for details or wherever you get your podcasts.
Should be today or tomorrow, I believe. Probably today, cool. If I get some time.
Ooh, can I plug Soundography real quick?
Go ahead, yeah. Please do.
I should have mentioned that earlier. Mm. Soundography episode just posted a few minutes ago. This week's episode focuses on a guy straight out of Linwood, Mr. Weird Al Yankovic. Ooh. Did you know he was valedictorian?
No, I did not. Class? He strikes me as a smart guy. I've always thought
he's
that.
He's a smart guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
so
cool.
Go check out the most recent episode from me and Hammond. You'll find it at soundography.com.
Nice.
All about Weird Al.
That's cool. Yep. Do you guys cover his recent works like White and Nerdy?
Absolutely. And Word Crimes. And
nice.
We talk as much about his originals. As a matter of fact, our lists are, I think, focus on his originals almost exclusively versus.
Like the early stuff on is that he was playing on accordions and things.
Oh, yeah. On the Dr. Demento show with T-Bone. All that stuff.
10 o'clock at night, Sunday nights. That's where I was every weekend listening to Dr. Demento. Like some kind of weirdo. That was like the 12-year-old thing you did. That's what you did.
Oh, yeah. Totally was.
Twitter got all nostalgic over the weekend.
Oh.
Over Donald Trump paying his taxes or not paying his taxes.
Really? Okay. This is kind of funny.
So it was revealed. The New York Times got a hold of a bunch of his tax stuff, which he has not formally released to the press at all, which has been a big point of consternation for both his campaign and people who are saying, dude, everyone gives their taxes by now. What are you hiding in there? So he finally released, or he didn't release anything. They've got some leaked stuff. And the leaked stuff seems to indicate that in 1995 or 94, somewhere in that range, he lost close to $1 billion and has not paid any income taxes since then. Some have said, well, that's what you do. Others have said, okay, well, that's not what I do. But anyway,
right.
He hasn't paid taxes for like 18 years, and Twitter decided to have some fun with it. So, for example, the New York Times released that, and then via the hashtag last time Trump paid taxes, they've collected all the things that would have been stuff happening at the time that he last paid taxes.
Oh, that's hilarious.
So I'm
going to
share some of these via this video or this thing here. Okay. Here's a few of these. I'll just share them with you. Here's one. LL Cool J was doing it and doing it and doing it well the last time he paid taxes. Last time he paid taxes, I was dialing into AOL at 3 a.m. to check my instant messages.
Oh, my gosh.
Cell phone looked like this, big giant bricks. Let's see. He was a Democrat is a good one because that's true. Will Smith and his parents just couldn't see eye to eye. Ross hadn't cheated on Rachel yet. That's a good one. You like Friends, so that's a good one for Brian there.
Yep. Yeah, I like that. That's funny.
MTV was still playing music videos.
Wow, that seems like forever ago.
The Kardashians were kids. Sylvester McCoy was still the doctor. Backstreet hadn't come back all right. Let's see. 9% of Americans had cell phones. That's not very many. I couldn't install Windows 95 because my hard drive wasn't big enough. It was also around the time that Donald Trump appeared on The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. That happened. Would you like to hear that
he
clip?
Was on that.
Here's a clip. No. Got a little clip for you.
Oh, cool.
Something to tell you.
Excuse me, but I've got something to tell you first. Thank you for ruining my life.
It's quiet. Okay, it was real brief and stupid.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, there's a ton of these and they're all funny. So people should go find
that hashtag.
That's hilarious. Yeah. Well done.
That's a funny trending topic.
Yeah. And if you're not going to pay your taxes. Oh, I got one thing to say about that. All right. If Trump hasn't paid his taxes and if you are sitting there applauding that, you think that's great. I will echo a few people I heard on Twitter say this. Okay. If you think that's great because he gamed the system, figured out how to make it work for him. You are no longer allowed to talk about people that you think take advantage of the welfare system. You are no longer allowed to talk about some poor mother who is using welfare instead of working. You don't get to do that anymore. Because if you think it's cool that Trump did what he did, then you must think it's cool for anyone to game the system no matter what level they do it at. So shut the F up about that. All right? Ugh. All right.
Okay.
Lindsay Lohan in the news. You're a fan. You like her.
I liked her back in the kind of innocent and, you know, looked a little bit like a female version of what's his face from Malcolm in the Middle.
Oh.
Frankie Muniz. Put them side to side. You'll see exactly what I mean.
Weird.
The way they looked back in the 90s. Speaking of the 90s.
That's weird. You're right. You're right. Well, she almost lost a finger. And so.
Oh, no.
It wasn't her middle one, so it's okay. Anyway, she says it hurts so bad. Ouch. Lindsay Lohan showed off her heavily bandaged left hand on Snapchat on Sunday, October 2nd, revealing that she had almost lost her ring finger in a boating accident. Lindsay Lohan's face through the years. What's that? Oh, that's some other article. That's
like another link.
quote, this is a result of me trying to anchor the boat by myself, she said with a laugh in the video. My poor finger. Oh, that's my favorite play. I used to love that play. I'd see it on
my
stage.
My poor finger.
Here it is, chat room. You guys want to see it? Look at that thing.
I want to see the finger.
Yeah, it's down there. It's on her Snapchat there. That's a big gnarly bandage unit.
Oh, geez, yeah.
Yeah, that looks like it's like taping a potato to your finger.
It looks like she's missing fingers, but I guess she's just got her thumb tucked under and.
Let's see. Yeah, index, middle, ring, and then pinky. Her pinky's large, isn't it?
Wait, seriously? It says, I almost lost my finger from the anchor. Well, I lost half my finger. Thank goodness we found the piece of my finger. I just had surgery to fix it.
Ugh.
Emojis with tears. It hurts so bad. Emoji of hands praying.
So they had to put her finger back together?
So it separated her finger from the sounds of it.
Ugh. That's awful.
Hmm. Wow.
I feel bad for her and I don't even really care about what's going on with her, but I feel bad for her. Nobody should lose their finger, I guess is what I'm saying. We should all get to keep our fingers, is my opinion.
It took her 8 minutes to type that out.
Oh, dude, think about how, you know, you don't have your finger anymore. What are you going to do?
Right, exactly.
Let's see. Oh, this is interesting. The first child in history has DNA from three parents and was born. This is thanks to a procedure that is banned in these states united. You can't do this here in America. You have to go to Mexico to do it.
Banned in the USA.
That's right. Excuse me. First baby with DNA from three parents was born in New York, the result of a procedure performed by an American team that works in Mexico because the procedure is banned in the U.S. Mm. Experts use the words huge and revolutionary as if they were Donald Trump to describe the birth, which came in the spring, but were the first reported last week in The New Scientist. By the way, quick aside.
Sure.
Do you think Marla Maples has a thumb drive full of like compromising photos of Donald Trump somewhere, and she's just smiling, hanging on to it for the right moment?
Oh my God, that'd be great. But I mean, she's already come out and said, you know, how much she still supports him in this and all that. So
yeah, I think she's being paid off.
You think so? Like,
I'll bet there's dirt. I'll bet there is
a sex tape, a Donald Trump sex tape somewhere out there on this thumb drive with Marla.
I bet you there's something like that someplace. We just haven't seen it yet. I'm almost sure of it.
I don't know. I don't think so.
I'm kind of convinced. There's stories about him and like wild cocaine parties in New York with that friend of his that ended up getting busted for underage kid traffic stuff.
In the 80s and stuff.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm just saying, those things, you know, stuff, there's
stuff.
They
have a way of surfacing. Who knows?
They have a way of surfacing.
Zoe says no, that she wouldn't do that to her daughter.
Sometimes this takes a long time, though. Like, what I'm getting at here is, how long did the Bill Cosby stuff take to get out? Long ass time. That's true.
Did take a long time, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm just saying, I'm not even hoping for it. I don't wish it on anyone. I just got a feeling. Just a little feeling right down there, right there in my little wishbone. I got a little feeling. All right. Anyway.
Alec Baldwin, by the way, came out during the cold open of SNL this weekend and did an amazing impersonation of Donald Trump. Of course, you had
Kate
McKinnon doing Hillary.
Mm-hmm. She does a killer Hillary.
She does do a killer Hillary.
You could call it a killery.
Emmy award winning Kate McKinnon and her Hillary. But
best supporting
actress.
Thought
that Alec Baldwin could nail a Trump impersonation so well?
Yeah, who knew? Alec Baldwin. Did he do anything else weird? Like, sometimes I worry about him a little bit. Is he all right? He's okay, isn't he?
It's just that he lives nearby, so they can call him up anytime somebody backs out or they need him. He's like John Goodman.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they're the people. According to that book, that Live from New York book, it's like, oh, crap, so-and-so backed out. Quick, get John Goodman, or quick, get Alec Baldwin. Or
did you read that, by the way?
I did.
I want
Not
to read
it. Not the newest
it.
Edition, though.
I want to read it. I hear it's good.
Really good.
Yeah.
It is really, really good.
I'm going to get it. I'm not usually a nonfiction guy, but I want to read that.
Which is surprising because you love documentaries.
I do. You'd think I would be a thing. I don't know why that is. I just don't really get into it. I was talking to my nephew last night, who, by the way, is like a foot taller than me. It's freaky how tall he is. And he is reading books about trees. And it's all just like botany stuff and like trees around the world. And like, it's all like, this is the most nonfiction thing you could do. It sounds horribly boring. This kid's 17 and he's totally into it. And he's not like some nerd. He's like a, you know, good looking kid, bunch of girls always around him. Like, it's not like he's a nerd like I was. He's like a, you know, normal kid playing basketball, doing all that. But then he's like, oh, I can't get enough books about trees. So I want
That's
him.
That's awesome.
Yeah, good. I know. It's kind of cool. I want him to be like the David Attenborough of trees.
Right. The Arborist.
Yes.
That'll be a book about him. The Arborist.
Or this is Netflix show, The Arborist. And he just travels around going, this tree is known for falling down early in the spring.
The tree whisperer.
The female tree is not impressed. All right. Here's one about, I didn't finish this. So this kid, got Jordanian parents, sought out the controversial technique because the mother carries the genes that cause Leigh syndrome. So they were trying to curb that. They had lost other babies to this disease. And she had miscarriages. First two children died, 6 years old and 8 months. So it's kind of rough. So they did this thing that involves a third donor that curbs that gene, and it totally worked. And so basically, this is the first known instance of a kid with three genetic codes in one person.
They could have a sitcom about it called My Two Dads.
Yep.
And darn, they already had that.
Oh, they did that, didn't they? How I Met Your Mothers.
Two guys, a girl, and a test tube.
There you go. Two guys, a girl, and some sperm donator man.
In a pizza place.
And here's your theme for it. There you go. A guy in Miami found out he was married to his granddaughter and has no plans to change it.
Florida.
Yeah, this is kind of gnarly.
Oh my gosh.
It is Florida.
Like biological granddaughter?
Yeah, so here's how it goes. 68-year-old man from Miami, from the Golden Beach neighborhood, has reportedly had a terrible shock after discovering his new bride, 24-year-old woman from Jacksonville, is actually his own biological granddaughter. The couple, who have only been married for 3 months, made the discovery while looking through a photo album belonging to the 68-year-old, who has requested that both he and his partner not be named in the media. In the album, there were photos of the 68-year-old's children from his first marriage, and one of them was the bride's own father. According to the 68, I mean, they didn't know this when they got married, right?
Right. Oh, my God.
Also, what is a 68-year-old and a 24-year-old that aren't, like, if he's not a millionaire, what's this about? What's going on here?
44-year age difference. What do they have in common?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Let's see. Let's think about that. He's shrivelly. She's not.
Right?
He's all gray and gross. She's not. I can't think of anything. What do they have in common? I don't know. They live in Florida. That's it.
We both liked that Patrick Warburton television show. That's how we got together.
Yeah, this is true. His previous wife died in 2015. He decided it was time to try to find a new wife. I guess 68 is not this old. I'm making him sound like he's 90, but
yeah.
He says he set about searching for a suitable partner. He shared how he signed up with a local dating agency that specializes in matching older men with women They had a website with profiles, many attractive younger girls, he says. Well, that's not creepy. As he browsed the images, he came across the profile of a 24-year-old woman who he would later marry without knowing that he was her actual granddaughter.
Yeah, this is, there's two guys who work in the web department of that dating site. Hey, dude, watch this. Want to have some fun?
Oh, my gosh. Because it's not like, it didn't sound like it's a web thing, but... Here's what,
oh, here, isn't it a dating site?
It's not a website. It's just like an agency.
Oh, dating service. Gotcha.
Like one of those old... Who knew those even existed anymore in the modern era?
Right.
That shocks me. But he looked at it, saw the photo, and went...
Granddaughter.
All right.
She's an exotic dancer.
Oh, well, then this is all making sense. It's all coming together. Finally, a woman did the nasty with a dinosaur at a children's playground and has now been identified after graphic images emerge. Police.
Open the door, get on the floor.
This is in Europe, so don't look at us like we're weird, all right? It's not us, it's someone else. Police officers are investigating images of a woman having sex with a dinosaur after identifying the suspect after the sculpture had to be thoroughly cleaned by council workers. Graphic images emerge showing the woman's naked from her waist down. On a children's dinosaur sculpture in Exmouth. That's what it says. Exmouth.
Yeah, Exmouth. I would say Exmouth, but I've never heard of that. Oh, I like Exmouth.
Exmouth. She was seen. Jeez, the language here. She was seen mounting the baby Tyrannosaurus Rex model, who was placing a face or who was placed in a fake egg. The model
not
is
the mommy.
The model is part of the popular local children's attraction, the Exmouth Dino Trail. Sergeant Richard Stonecliffe. Oh, that's a great name. From Exmouth Police said, "We are still continuing our investigation, and now we have identified the woman in the photographs who we see, or who we will be speaking to." So, anyway, there's photos in there. Don't go look at them.
Wow, I like the fact that pixelating them is not enough. They have to put a black box over the pixelation.
Yeah, and not just a black box, like a 500 by 500 pixel black box.
Right, exactly.
The biggest black box possible.
Oh, man.
What got into her head, I wonder, for real?
Yeah, I don't know. That's rough stuff right there.
It is. We're glad to bring you the rough stuff here on TMS. All right, time to take a very fast break. We're going to talk about a new sponsor that we're very excited about, and we'll be right back. All right, if you guys are like me, you're trying to lose weight and count your calories and be careful about what you do. And on the weekend, you're like, oh, shoot, I forgot to track something. Dang it. And which app should I use? There's like a million of them and they all have strengths and weaknesses. And it's just kind of a big old pain in the butt. And by the end of the day, if you haven't lost your weight or reached your goals, then what good are you? What good was all that work? I'm going to tell you about Ava. First ever healthy eating assistant that figures out how to help you lose weight and get results even faster without changing your entire life. There's so many diet plans out there. We've all tried them. And many of them just don't work. Maybe they did for a while, but the weight came back. Right? Am I right? You guys have been there. I'm there. Or I've been there. Actually, kind of there. That's why I'm so excited about this. Ava is different. It's powered by cutting-edge artificial intelligence and the expertise of real-life registered dietitians. Ava connects you with them in real time. And they do it through a text message. It's that simple. Do you have to go get an app? No. Do you have to fill up a hard drive or a phone's memory space? No, you don't. You just track what you eat by snapping a picture, for example. Take a picture of your food. Here's your lunch laying right there in front of you. Send the pic to Ava, and you get a text back in minutes with calories and all the nutritional stuff for your photo. And then Ava will add it up for you, give you a calorie count, nutrition levels, all that stuff, so you don't have to. You can ask it questions like, Ava, what should I have for lunch today? Or, hey, Ava, I'm at a restaurant in Boston. What should I order? Ava, how many calories are in this big burger in front of me? You get personalized meal recommendations to fit your goals. Ava learns and likes your stuff based on your lifestyle and your food picks. It'll make recommendations that'll help you lose weight, build muscle, or just plain be more healthy. Whether you're looking to lose weight, have a food allergy or a sensitivity, or you're training for your next 5K, Ava can help you meet your goals. Here's all you have to do to jump in line in the beta test. Literally jump ahead in line. You know, like fast passes at Disneyland? It's like this, but even better, because you jump straight ahead because they are currently in beta. It's a closed beta, and you guys as TMS listeners are going to get in quick, fast, and easy by texting the promo code TMS. So it's the letters TMS to the number 48799. That number again on your phone, simple as this, just text the number 48799, just using SMS texting on any phone of any kind. Send the code TMS to that number and you'll jump ahead in line. Do it today. You'll be happy you did.
Look at this. We've got another one that a listener has found and contacted the band and got approval for. The band is Razvio or Raz. The song says Raz from their press kit, but in the emails they're called Razvio or Razivo. Sorry, Razivo. No? Okay. I'm not sure if it's Razivo or Razvio because the website they give is Razivo, but the Facebook page is Razvio, R-A-Z-Z-V-I-O.
And their ID3 tags just say Raz, so who knows?
Right, exactly. No. Oh my gosh. I'm guessing Razvio. Right. Anyway. So big thanks to Logan, who did the legwork, contacted the band and said, hey, think these guys are great. They are electric violin and electronic drum duo out of California. Logan just saw them perform at the Flying Dog Brewery in Frederick, Maryland, and said, this is great. It'd be great for TMS. Contacted the band. They said, yep, sounds fantastic. We'd love to be on the show. Here are potential misspellings of our name and enjoy. Nice. The song comes from their 2015 album, Perpetual Hybrid. The song is called Particles. This is Razvio, R-A-Z-Z-V-I-O. Atoms float in empty space. Some are formulas and elements. Make up a world we'll never see. Lattices define. As we look back through the universe, trying to find just who we are, collecting time like a capsule in our minds. We are particles.
Cliff Hansen beating off Mike Vinich of Hudson, Wyoming.
Huh? Ah!
The Morning Stream. Garblurgablurg!
All right, we're back. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. That was a trippy cool song. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Trippy cool.
Very trippy cool. Very, trying to figure out what to compare it to, because you get the electronic violin and the, a little Evanescence with her vocals and the, but obviously the backing stuff, the arrangement isn't very Evanescence.
Not at all.
That was really good.
Yeah, it was good. I like it a lot. Once again, no losers in this segment yet. We haven't had a bad indie in the middle, as far as I'm concerned.
Yay!
It's all gone real good.
I'll keep that record going is what I'm going to do.
Keep that stick in the air. Keep pushing that frying pan. I'm making up words. All right. Let's, who we got now? Steven, that's who.
Yeah.
Let's bring him in. I have two Stevens. I almost added the wrong Steven. Oh. Skype just crashed. Great. Skype's a piece of poo. It totally crashed on you. Yeah, it's garbage. It crashed, and I don't know why. All I did was add Steven, and it crashed.
Wasn't my...
That wasn't you. It was just weird freaking deal. Hey, look at this right here. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. The one, the only, Mr. Steven Schleicher. Hello.
Hello.
How's it going?
Good.
Hailing from majorspoilers.com, one of the fine websites in the world that covers all things pop culture, comics, video games. Well, not really video games, but, you know, movies, TV, all that. Sometimes games. It depends on what your mood is over there.
Mm-hmm.
What's happening, man? How are you? What's going on with you?
We have wrapped up the fall soccer season, so.
Oh, good.
We are back from many, many road trips to watch the boy play.
I still have
different
a few
parts of, you know, Kansas.
Yeah.
So this year we went to Hutchinson, Topeka, and Manhattan, and then we had one local that we did. So.
There's a Manhattan, Kansas.
Yeah, that's where K-State is located.
Oh, weird. Okay, I like it when a town has
a
name.
It's the Little Apple.
Yeah.
That's what they call themselves, Little Apple.
Is it a fancy town? Like, what's it like there?
Yeah, it's a college town. I mean, it's a big college town. So if you've been to, I don't know, a college town, you've probably been to Manhattan.
What's the name of the college?
Kansas State.
Kansas State is there. I didn't know that.
K-State. Kansas State University. Yes. Okay. K-State.
All right. Yeah. I like it. Well,
and Lawrence, just to confuse things, Lawrence, Kansas is the home of the University of Kansas, or KU.
Ah, I see. UK, KU. Yeah. And the UK is across the pond, though. That's the United Kingdom.
So KU, sure. And then there's K-State.
Right.
Oh, Wildcats.
Yeah.
No,
Wildcats, correct.
It is the Wildcats, yes.
Mm-hmm. Is it the Wildcats? Yep. All right.
Frequent NCAA basketball winners.
No, that would be KU.
KU.
K-State
has that's what I meant.
Awful...
Yeah, KU, the Wildcats, right?
Yeah. Wait, yeah, KU Jayhawks.
The Pumbas.
The Pumbas, yeah.
KU Jayhawks.
So
the Jayhawks, that's what it is.
Jayhawks, okay. So is local high school football a big deal in Kansas? I assume it is.
Yeah, yes, it is.
All right. So it's a little bit like Texas that way. They're way into it.
Yeah, I mean, there's a little town just off I-70. I think is it Enterprise, Kansas? I think that's what it is.
That's cool.
But there you can see their football stadium from the highway. And man, driving by Friday night, it was lit up like you could. I mean, football is a big deal. And you could see the stands were maybe like 50 people in the stands. But yeah, it's a big deal.
They don't care. No matter what time it is, no matter how cold it is, there will be a game going. And there will be there'll be lights on a Friday night. You will have Friday night lights all the time.
Exactly.
Hey, so it's good to have you on. We're going to talk about some of the nerdy stuff going on. But before we do any of that, time for some Rockford Files info updates with Steven Schleicher. What's going on?
Here we go. Rockford drove a 1977 Pontiac Firebird Esprit.
Yeah.
Everyone knows that that gold car. Some people still have them. Mm-hmm. They'll bring them to car shows and everything.
Sure.
On the front of that car is, you know, a license plate. You can't use a real license plate. But the license plate in the show is 853-OKG.
Okay.
Okay.
So 853... everyone speculates that either A, that was when James Garner got his SAG license, or that's when he got his first acting job in August of 1953.
Oh, okay. All right.
Wow.
And the OKG, OK is for Oklahoma, where Garner was born,
yeah.
And the G for Garner.
Oh.
Oklahoma Garner.
That's awesome.
And there you go.
This is when I got my first job. This is my name, and this is where I'm from. I like
that's it. That's basically right. I mean, he's right there. Now, everyone knows that today, you know, Secret Service men have this really cool trick where they slam the car into reverse, they drive backwards, and they whip the wheel around until it does a 180, and then as it whips around, they drop it into drive, and they drive forward.
Sure.
Yeah.
That was a stunt that was invented by bootleggers way back during Prohibition, but it only became popular when Jim Rockford started doing it in the Rockford Files, and so today, instead of calling it a J-turn, which is its technical name, everyone calls it a Rockford turn.
No way.
Oh, yep. Really?
That's for real? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that is a real thing. Oh, now,
cool. I think I've heard that used, but I didn't know the connection. I'd never heard
it. Yeah, a Rockford turn.
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh. That's amazing. Sorry, you were saying, you were still saying something, and I cut you off.
No, I was just saying most of us do a three-point turn. Technically, that's called a T-turn.
Yeah.
The J-turn is the Rockford turn.
Wow.
God, all right. I would love to have the time and the and a big empty place to practice that so I could get really good at it and just... You know, not tell anybody and then say, oh, hold on, let's turn around here.
you can do stunt driving schools where they will teach you that.
Oh, man. Yeah,
Major Dumperoo just said something in the chat, and I want to echo it because we've gotten emails and tweets to this regard. Everyone is saying, and this is his exact words in the chat, this is becoming my favorite segment of the entire week next to Therapy Thursday. And I get that from lots of people. People love the Rockford Files update. So yeah. We're going to keep doing it. Well done. There you go. Play us out. Let's get to something else. Like, how about the CW news about the Dominators? Now, I have to admit a little bit of dumbness here. I don't know. I do not know who that is.
So following the big Crisis on Infinite Earth storylines, this was like 87, I want to say, is when this came about. The Earth was invaded by a collective of different alien races from around the universe, okay, led by the Dominators, who are like this big gonna wipe you out alien race. If anything's different from them, they want to wipe you out, and they want to find what the genetic code that makes that particular race tick so that they can incorporate it into their own library. So the Dominators are these big, tall, skinny looking yellow aliens with these big red dots on their eyes and these big ass teeth. And they're very scary, and they led this invasion of Earth because they were very concerned about these metahumans and what they could do if they were ever allowed to proliferate and expand out into the galaxy. Mm-hmm. So they are going to be this year on the CW that kicks off this week, Arrow, Flash, and I think DC Legends of Tomorrow this week. And then next week is Supergirl. There's a big 4-part crossover event that's happening this year. And the Dominators are going to be this alien force that invades, which is really, really kind of interesting.
They want to kill all the metahumans, right? That's the deal.
They want to wipe out Earth.
Okay, so
what they want to do.
How come? Wow. Here's my only problem with any of this. I love this idea of the crossover stuff. I think that's awesome for these shows. Only complaint I have is that's great and all, but where's Superman and Batman in this? Where's the Wonder Woman?
Well, we're going to see Superman and Supergirl.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. He is on there.
He's part of this whole thing now. So we will get to see them. John Jones will get involved. The Martian Manhunter.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that at some point in the Supergirl, maybe premiere next week, we may hear about a certain city across the bay from Metropolis.
Oh, really?
That may be brought up in passing.
I see.
Interesting.
I don't think that means...
Is it, are you going to figure out some reason to explain how Batman's not involved in any of this stuff? Like,
right.
Probably.
Oh, yeah. Gotham really hates us over here.
Something like that.
He'll be like trapped by something, or he'll be on one of his kicks where he's not helping anybody because the city doesn't, you know, it'll be some shit like that, right?
Right.
They're not going to have Ben Affleck just show up.
It would be interesting if there was some way they could incorporate, you know, the Gotham TV series into this expanded universe, but I don't think we're going to see that. Even though it's still Warner Brothers, it's not Berlanti Productions, and it's two different networks again.
Yeah,
so that will be rather interesting.
Looking at photos of these Dominators guys, I mean, the big alien heads, it'll be interesting if they actually do the work to make these guys look like this in the TV shows.
They are going to make this as faithfully as they can using prosthetics and CGI.
Wow.
More teeth than Kristen Dunst.
Yeah, it is. They are scary. I've always thought, even when I was reading this back in the day, I thought these are scary aliens just in their whole agenda and what they do. And so what they do is they gather up a bunch of different alien races. The Koons are this warrior race. They have some underwater.
I'm sorry. Wait, Koons?
The Kunz, K-H-U-N-D-S.
Okay. All right. I was like, wait a minute. This is some like leftover 1950s, like, woo.
I thought the same thing.
Jeez. All right.
No. Kunz.
Like the Kunz. Yes. Okay. I got
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
That's fair.
And another race that they incorporate or that has agreed to participate in this invasion as quote unquote observers are the Daxamites, right?
Yeah.
The Daxamites? Okay.
Daxamites. That is the same race as Mon-El, who is going to be appearing in this show this season. And what we expect, or what many people are assuming, is the person that crashed into that season finale of Supergirl in the Rocket, and she pulled it off. Everyone is assuming that it's Mon-El inside there. Oh, he goes on, of course, to be part, not Superboy, but he goes on to be a member of the Legion of Superheroes. And we talked about this a month or so ago, that Mon-El is in Superboy number 89. Superboy mistakes him for his older brother because they have the same power set and all those kinds of things.
I'm seeing a picture of him with a big old M.
They're basically Superman Jr., though, right? They're always going to be that. Like, they're just, if they're coming from Krypton, they're just super people, right?
Right, but these are from the planet Daxam, where Superman has a weakness to kryptonite. The Daxamites have a weakness to lead. They will die from lead poisoning if exposed to it.
Oh, wow. Hmm. All right. So like us. Like if you get a... Yeah, like us. They're just like us, Brian. Just like us.
Yeah. You drink really too much of the water.
So if you poke your... So like my son Nick still has a piece of pencil lead in his arm from when he was real little.
It's graphite.
Oh, that's right. That's not really lead,
is it?
It's
not real lead. Yeah.
Okay. What's a common everyday thing that could really screw him up if they got lead?
Lead chips, eating paint.
Oh yeah,
which
paint.
They don't do that anymore. But a lot of older houses,
That's true.
They still have lead paint in there, so you do have to. If you have a house that was built before, I believe 1977, you're supposed to have your house inspected for lead paint.
My grandma had both lead paint and asbestos, which seems to be weird. And they both, you know what? They both died of cancer. And I'm not saying it was connected. And they both lived to be old. I'm just saying. Maybe is all I'm saying. There's a little bit of maybe there. That's all I'm saying. All right. Hey, that's good. Everybody watch for the Dominators. They're coming soon. And then they're working with the Kunz. The Kunz.
Yes.
This Indiana Jones fan film.
Let all this riffraff into the room.
The Indiana Jones fan film thing I've been seeing all over Twitter turns out is real and interesting and finally
it is amazing. So what's
so
really
good?
What's crazy about this is this guy's been working on this for 5 years, is my understanding.
Yeah.
And when he said it was getting close to being released, Lucasfilm or Steven Spielberg's website actually posted a coming soon graphic on their page to kind of say, hey, this is something that we really dig. And if you watch it, it's not really a short, it's not a a complete narrative with dialogue and all this stuff. It's more like what you would see in an intro for a TV series. And so the title of this is
coming up on Indiana Jones.
And so the title of this is The Adventures of Indiana Jones. And it's look at it as an intro to an animated show. And I think that there's going to be enough interest that Lucasfilm may look at this and say, is this a viable product for us? It's that good.
Interesting. Yeah. So I always like that. It's animated, by the way, folks. Mm-hmm. The perfect, in my opinion, perfect outlet to take Indiana Jones to the next level. Mm-hmm. You don't need to keep making movies and dragging poor Harrison Ford out. Hire him for voice or something. You hire him for voice work if you want or whatever. But you could have so much fun with like an animated series. I don't know why they're not already doing this. They should have been the ones doing it. The fact that this is a fan film, you need to hire this dude.
Yeah.
And you need to make this stuff. I would be so into that. Oh my gosh, I'd be into this. Anyway.
The guy's name is Patrick Schoenmaker is the animator.
Yeah.
If they were to this would be the thing that I could see paying, you know, a couple bucks a month for an app, like kind of like the CBS All Access thing.
Oh, sure.
If I was going to get 4 episodes a month of this Indiana Jones in this style like this, sign me up. I'm on. Yeah. I'm all over.
Yeah, without a question, I'd do it. Mm-hmm. I'm super jazzed about it. It looks really good to me.
Yeah.
Anyway, go check that trailer out if you haven't seen it. Not really trailer, whatever it is. It's like a fan film.
Fan film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's funny because it's while it's short, it looks like someone spent 5 years on it.
Totally. Yeah. It's very Don Bluth. Like it has a very Don Bluth kind of feel to it. Schumacher was definitely inspired by Don Bluth, I think.
Yeah. Utah connection. I like that.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Well, excellent. This has all been good. Even I didn't know we were going to get license plate Jim Rockford file stuff, but we did, and that made it even better. Steven Schleicher can be found at majorspoilers.com, of course. You can find all this fine work there and follow him on Twitter at majorspoilers. Anything else people should be looking for?
We'll have a story here coming up in about, I think, 20 minutes or so, but I'll let the morning stream audience know first. The current title for the upcoming Batman movie with Ben Affleck, The Batman.
Really? The Batman?
The Batman. The Batman. That's the current title, but the Affleck says that we may change it, but right now it's called The Batman.
All right, fine.
We're workshopping it.
We're workshopping it.
I'm going to go to the theater, but first I'll stop at the Walmart and get the prescription I need, and then I'll go to see The Batman. I don't like the
Does that mean that when he gets captures a thug, and the thug is like looking at him, he's go, I'm the Batman.
Well, I mean, technically that's what he is. He's the Batman.
Yeah, he is. But are they going for kind of a retro vibe? I don't know.
I don't know. There was an animated series from 6 or 7 years ago called The Batman.
Yeah.
It wasn't really great. It had a neat aesthetic, but the storyline
was that the high cheekbone one? Where they had
that was the one that had the really, really super sharp angles on everything, and the Joker was like a dread, big dreadlocks, and
I kind of liked that show. I know it was way out there in terms of it taking liberties with style and stuff, but I thought it was really cool at the time. And I
the aesthetic is interesting, but the storyline not so good.
And wasn't that still I can't think of his name now. Who does Batman usually? The voice,
Kevin Conroy.
Kevin Conroy. I think it was him again.
Yeah, he's done it a lot, but I don't remember if he was in the Batman or the Batman Strikes, because they were two of them that ran back to back with one another.
Trevor Bill says in the chat, who is also here with us on the show, I'm more of a Batman, not the Batman. I like that a lot. Hey, what if it was called a Batman?
That'd be Batman.
Yeah.
A Batman. Are you I'm Batman. Are you the Batman?
I'm a Batman.
Well, I'm a Batman. Yeah. That sounds really good to me. All right, Steven, always a pleasure, man. Take it easy. I'm glad you don't have any soccer left. No more cold days out in the stupid wherever. And we'll talk to you soon.
See you guys.
Bye.
Right. So, it was Reno Romano, by the way, not Kevin Conroy in that series.
Oh, was it? Okay. He was good, though.
But Kevin Conroy just about everywhere else.
Yeah, pretty much everywhere. You know who does a good job, too, when they don't use Conroy, they use the guy that played Captain Pike in the Star Trek movies. Can everyone remember his name? Yeah. He was in a million things. iRobot, a million other movies. I can't think of his name. Anyway, that guy does
great.
Really good Batman. Stuart from Yorkshire, not UK, Batman. Wrote in. All right. Batman. Uh-huh. He's a good Batman.
He's a good Batman.
Yeah. He's a good Batman. Stuart from Yorkshire, or Yorkshire is how you'd probably say it.
Oh, yes, they have good pudding there.
Yes, in the United Kingdom, says this. I have come to the conclusion that Scott is Mr. Robot. He claims his neighbor's dog... Sorry, he spells neighbors like neighbors. Like, it's true UK-ness coming out. He claims his neighbor's dog poops on his lawn, yet the neighbor denies owning a dog. Has Scott's reckless alter ego been walking Rainer and not cleaning up the poop? Does Brian even exist? Or is this, in fact, Scott's split? Having Googled and searched via Siri, no results for Brian Ibbett. Further evidence to back up my theory. I shall take this to Third Eye. You guys know he's got talent. Love the show, though. Stuart from Yorkshire, UK. I don't get Third Eye joke, though. What is Third Eye? Third Eye? Is that from the show? I don't remember. It could have been.
I don't know. I haven't watched season 2 yet. I told Tina last night, I said, we have to start watching Mr. Robot before Scott accidentally spoils something.
I know. I'm going to blow something.
It's so tough because I see you and Daryl talking back and forth about it, and there's no spoilers, but I can tell there's I know that there's barfing, and I know there's an 80s TV theme episode.
Well, more like 90s, but it's 90s, the truth is it would be very hard for me to spoil anything about that show because I'm still not sure what the hell happened. That's how it left me. I don't know. I don't really know what's going on, but I love it.
Sure.
It's the first time I've actually loved not knowing what's going on. We got one more email from Marty, who wrote in. He says, Doc!
Marty!
He says, and we were both thinking the same thing. I'm a sweaty fat guy, he says. If I dropped something and the other sweaty guy next to me went to grab it, all I would think about was how he's got his sweaty hands on my stuff and is probably dripping forehead and armpit sweat all over it. I'd be more polite than she was. But I'd be pretty icked out about it. My sweat on all the stuff is fine. Anybody else's sweat is a no-go. I think you might, or say, I think you may be jumping to conclusions that it, what, that it's a sexist thing. Love the show, bro. Marty. Ah, yeah, interesting.
Were you all sweaty when you were reaching to pick up whatever it was she dropped?
No, and I'm not a sweaty fat guy.
Are you a 400-pound hacker sitting on his bed?
Yeah, and bringing down the DNC or whatever. No.
Yeah.
That's called business. No, what did Trump say? No, she said.
Yeah, he said that it's called business.
Yeah, she goes, you haven't paid income taxes. That's called business.
It's called business. I'm smart.
And if I had, and then she says, if I had, you would have squandered that too. Basically, he's meant to paying no taxes. Such a jackass. Right. Such a jackass. Anyway, there's your emails for the day. Just wanted to share those with you. If you'd like to send in your own emails, themorningstream@gmail.com. Let's close things out by telling you can support the show at patreon.com/TMS. I've heard from a couple of people at the higher levels who haven't gotten their stuff. Usually you're in some weird part of the world, and we will make sure you get covered.
like the UK or Australia, one of the weird parts of the world.
I don't mean weird, I guess. I guess like shipping gets weird sometimes, and sometimes stuff takes forever. I heard from three people over the weekend who finally got their, from last May, their free comic book day prints that we sent out.
Oh my gosh.
From last May, and they finally arrived. And that's just I don't know. They're being held by some guy in customs. I don't know what's happening. So sometimes this stuff happens. We're always there to take care of you. So get in touch with us if you're having a problem. But we love doing that. Patreon.com/TMS is where you can support us to get your cool stuff. We're streamed every day at alphageekradio.com and, of course, diamondclub.tv. Big thanks to those guys. Frogpants.com/TMS for all our details, including our phone number, 801-471-0462. Follow Brian on Twitter at Coverville. I'm at Scott Johnson and the show at Morning Stream. Or is it all three the same person?
Whoa.
Frogpants.reddit.com is our subreddit. That's also a cool place to go hang out. That's going to do it. Brian, let's exit the building with music in our hearts and minds.
Sure. Well, Liz wrote in and said, hello, Bakat and Sryan. Monday, October 3rd, is my mom's 53rd birthday. She's the strongest person I know, and this year will mark 11 years since she had a stroke that has kept her from working as a nurse. She was an amazing nurse and is an even better mom, and the fact that she hasn't had a recurrent stroke, which is likely for 1 in 4 people who've had one, is something I'm always grateful for. To commemorate this, I'd love it if you played a cover, if you would play a cover of Yesterday by the Beatles or Love Shack by the B-52s, two of her favorite songs. Love the show, though, Liz, from New Orleans.
I love
that. I just couldn't get that last part out. Yesterday by the Beatles, Love Shack by the B-52s, two of her favorite songs.
I love that the two songs are those two. That's just a great, it shows a lot of range. I like that. That's cool.
It totally does. Yeah. The covers I have of Love Shack by the B-52s sound just like Love Shack by the B-52s, so I decided to go the Yesterday route, which for some reason in the Guinness Book of World Records is still listed as the song that has the most covers. I don't know if I totally agree with that. I mean, I guess it's in the Guinness Book of World Records, so it has to be true, but it seems like there are other songs that I think have had way more covers. However, this cover I'm going to play of Yesterday is performed by Greg Hawkes. Came out in 2008 on an album called The Beatles Uke. Now, the name Greg Hawkes sound familiar?
Yeah,
maybe a little
it does,
bit?
It does, actually. He's Why? What's that ring a bell
He's
for?
The keyboardist of The Cars.
Oh,
he's
not, all right.
He's not Rick Ocasek. He's not Elliot Easton. He's not Benjamin Orr. He's the keyboard guy. And he, when you go see The Cars in concert, Greg Hawkes, it's hard not to watch Greg Hawkes because he's amazing. He's hilarious. He's a consummate performer, and he keeps the crowd entertained while he's performing. He's really, really good.
Did he write this lyric, by the way, this lyric right here? Don't let anyone pick
his,
your bum.
That's his.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Good advice.
Totally his lyric. And pick your fun, which is the real lyric, doesn't make any sense, any less sense than pick your bum. I'm liking pick your bum, so that's what I'm going to sing from now
There's
on.
There's a certain practicality to picking your bum.
You don't want to let anybody pick your bum.
Right, yeah.
I'm fine with letting somebody pick my fun.
Yeah, pick my fun. That's fine. You want me to play video games, see a movie, play video games, or I already said that, or play basketball? Fine, that's great. But don't pick my bum.
Right, exactly.
Nobody gets to pick my bum. Don't let nobody pick your bum.
All right, so this is a Greg Hawkes cover, all instrumental, all on ukulele of the Beatles, Yesterday.
All right, we'll be here tomorrow, and this will be Yesterday then. So come back then. We got Jerry and Bill and all that shit. So come back then. Have a great day, everybody. Stay out of trouble, and may the force be with you. Bye. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
I was a young warthog.